Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, and verses 1 through 7. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. And let's pray together again. Father, give us wisdom, understanding. Lord, I pray tonight you'd anoint the Word. Lord, I pray tonight that we might speak as oracles of God as we wish we had when we stand in judgment bar. I pray tonight, Lord, that we pick up some truths of the Word of God that will help us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Lord, that we'll be strong in the Lord, that we might be able tonight to stand and fight against the wiles of the devil as he throws his wicked fiery darts at us. Help us, Lord, to rebuke him with the Word of God because our flesh is not capable of doing it. And I pray tonight, Lord, that the Word of God might be strong and forthright in our heart, that we might be able to use the Word of God in the right attitude, with the right manner. Lord, that we might today quench the fiery darts, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, pointed out some words in verse number 1, we'll label this message tonight, the Gospel of God. You see that as the last three words of verse number 1. And we'll be dealing with verse number 1. We will pick up a little bit other, but I pray tonight that you see this. I told you the other day that there's some key words of verse number 1 is Paul. And we talked about him a little bit. We preached about Paul so many times, we didn't go into too much detail. But then we talked about Paul as a servant. And then we talked about some of the other words as Jesus Christ. And we said that he's the master of the servant. Amen. You believe that too, don't you? He's the master. We are the servants. And then he said, look at that word call. We want to look at that. We have a little bit. And then that word apostle. And then that word is separated. And then that word unto. It's very important. And then the phrase gospel of God. Now, we've started some of that, and I want to go back a little bit to give a little review to see this and put it together. See, you can read this Scripture like this if you're just looking at it, not changing it. But this is what you'd do if you're just breaking it down to understand it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Then you could say, Paul, called to be an apostle, right? Then you could say, Paul, separated unto the gospel of God. So it's speaking about the same one. And so you put that and break it down in these three things. First of all, he puts the servant, he puts the apostle, and then he's separated to the gospel. And he puts the one first. I believe he's got it in the right order. I don't believe it's the one that being, you know, separated the gospel first, and then an apostle second, or the apostle first, and the separated second, and then put him up as a servant. Paul wants us to know tonight that he is a servant. Amen. It's first and foremost tonight that we be a servant for the Lord God. We're not willing to serve Him tonight. We're not going to make much of do for the work of God down the road. Now, we see that. Now, we talked about last week, or maybe a week before, a servant. And in that servant, it classifies and takes on the thought of a slave. But not really as much as a real slave as what Paul would call a bond slave. He was a slave because he is willing to be a slave or a servant. And that's what that includes tonight. He was willing to be a servant or willing to be a slave. He wasn't taken into the work of God by against his will. I don't believe tonight God wants you to serve Him against your will. Amen. I believe God wants you to serve Him, at His will. And it's your will to be in His will. That's what Christ said about it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. And I believe every child of God ought to be that way tonight, that His will should be our will tonight. And that's what it ought to answer. But then I mentioned last week too, I believe, that Paul said it's like a galley servant or a galley slave. And I don't know where anybody went to look that up or not, but I challenge one of you young folks and older folks too. If you fiddle around with a computer or anything, you know about Google. Amen. Just Google that little word galley, G-A-L-L-E-Y. And look it up and find the galley, and you'll find a galley ship. You'll see some pictures. Some of you probably looked them up, did you? And look at that galley. And so what happened, they had what they call galley slaves. In the back yonder, they had the old ship, and I told you a little bit about it, but not much. They had the holes in the side of the ship. and they rowed it. In other words, they used oars. And they would take the servants that they had, sometimes the criminals or the prisoners, and they would even bond them to it by binding them with time together with oars or cuffs of some kind, and they'd have to work. But some of those were three-layered. And on the top layer, they'd have out one set of rows or oars outside. Then there was another layer under there, and a third layer on some of those ships. Now, the first layer, brother, they could get a little air. And then you get down to the bottom of their second row, it wasn't as easy there. Amen. Couldn't get as much air. It was work. And I'm giving you this for a part just to think about Paul. But that bottom, they call it the under rowers. There's the ones that's down on the bottom. They're the ones that suffered the most with less of oxygen than the rest of them did. They sweated more down there, amen, and they had to work harder. And Paul's saying, I'm like the galley slave, but I'm an under rower. I'm having to work hard, and I don't mind it at all. I'm not griping. I'm not complaining. He said, I'm willing to be an under rower in this ship of Zion, amen. And I believe that's where we need to be. You know, we gripe at the least little things. Amen. We complain about the work of God, don't we? Amen. I mean, the air conditioner gets a little cold, the heat gets a little hot, or it gets to where we're not comfortable. Amen. At the house of God, and we're ready to quit. Amen. The devil hop on our case, and we're ready to quit. We ought to be some under-rowers. Now, that's about what Paul is doing. He said, hey, I've given up my personal rights. But I want to go and say a little bit more on this tonight and talk about this business of slaves and servants for a moment and see how the Apostle Paul was. And I believe Paul was the example for me. I believe he's the example for you. I believe Paul's the example for the church. Amen. I believe Paul set that example. I believe he set that example more than anybody on the face of the earth except the Lord Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry. But as far as a ministry is concerned, Paul, I believe, set the work and set it out there, and he became the one that we look at. Now, we want to look at, there's another little term in the Word of God called ministers. Now, ministers, of course, the devil's got them too. Amen. His demons can be ministers of light. Amen. Sometimes they can impersonate the people of God. And ministers are those who help with the work of God. And Paul said, I'm like a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the case tonight, the gospel of God. Now, stay with me. Not only that, but he's talked about some other people in there. In the Bible, he talks about a bishop. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You remember that scripture in the book of Timothy? So there's the bishops. What's the bishop? He's the one we recognize today as the pastor. He's the one that God has put in to do the preaching to the flock. And so he's saying, hey, he has to have a qualification. The book of Timothy and the book of Titus gives us qualifications, 17 different qualifications for a man of God or a pastor or a bishop. And brother, God wants it to be strong. So Paul's saying, hey, I'm a servant, but there are some stipulations to my serving. And I must meet the criteria to be a servant of God. And beloved, tonight, if you want to be a servant, I want you to know it's going to take some blood, sweat, and tears. It's not an easy road. If you want to be a servant of God and you want to serve God with all your heart and all your soul, you won't be well spoken of in this world. Amen. They won't pat you on the back at every good turn. You may sing a song and they'll like it. You may say a word and they may like it. But I'll guarantee you, while one's liking it, there'll be 10 that dislikes it. Amen. And I'll tell you, the odds are against a servant. You sell yourself out to God, and I'll guarantee you the devil will be on you. Every bit of it. He'll be all over you. He will be against you in everything that you do. So he talks about bishops and pastors. And then there's another thing that we talk about in the Word of God, and he labels these as the preacher as well, and that's called the under-shepherd. Amen. And of course, we see the under shepherd. He's there, and not only the under shepherd, but shepherds, by the way. And the under shepherd is the shepherd of the flock. That's what he is. He's not the shepherd. The shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. But we look at this, and as under shepherds, we're like the shepherd. And listen, it's not an easy thing to keep up with a bunch of sheep. I got to thinking about that. It's got to be some turmoil. Amen. Sheep don't always stay together. Sometimes they'll separate themselves. They get in trouble. There's always got to be a shearing. Amen. They get in the mud. They get places they don't need. You can get them in a place. They get on their back sometimes and can't get. They'll die if you don't get them back up off their back. Amen. That's what's happened to some of our church folks. Amen. I mean, they got on the pew and they can't get up. They stuck. And sometimes getting stuck in the mud. And you got to watch for the wolves. You got to watch for those predators out there to take over. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, this is a job. Amen. You can't sit back in the shadows and not pay any attention. If you're going to be a shepherd, you got to take care of the sheep. Amen. And then there's another we're going to talk about. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it because I'm going to preach on it later. In the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it's the 4th chapter, he talks about the stewards of God. Stewards. You know what a steward is? A steward is he's a house manager. In the Old Testament times, they had house managers, stewards. Now, we're not talking about this one sitting on the pew. That's his name. I'm talking about the position steward. And the stewards, what did they do? They took care of the affairs of the home. They watched over everything. And I'm not going to get into all detail with that, because I want to save that for that message, because I want to preach a whole message on that, because it's required of stewards that they be what? Found what? Say it. Amen. Guess at it anyhow. Faithful. Amen. So we know stewards will be found faithful. And so we want to preach on that. But a steward, a houseman, the first one I think about in my mind is a good steward is exactly what Abraham had when he had the servant in the Old Testament. The servant there was the steward. He was the steward. You know, he had one man. His name was Eliezer. You'll find that in another place. But he was a steward over Abraham's business. And so who is it that Abraham sent to get a bride? Amen. He sent Eliezer, the steward. He sent the servant. And the servant went out to get the bride, and he brought the bride back. Now, to be good stewards tonight, that's what God has put us in the church for, to go get a bride for Jesus Christ. And we're doing a poor job of doing that tonight. But as a steward, we're to do that. Amen. Is that enough said about the servant? Amen. I mean, we'll just get on something else now, and we'll be here all night. So we can talk about some more. We'll talk about the steward more when we get into it. Now, as being a servant, you have to remember this one thing. That meant that the Lord had full control. Who is He a servant of? Jesus Christ, here in verse number 1. And I told you the other day that Jesus Christ is mentioned in verse 1, mentioned in verse 3, mentioned in verse 6, and verse number 7, and verse number 8. In those first 8 verses, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there is mentioned 5 times. Jesus is the earthly name of Christ. Christ is the heavenly name. Jesus means Savior. And Christ means the Anointed One. So you got to keep that in your mind. I keep going over it because I don't want you to forget it. Some of you ain't taking notes. Some of you just keep writing that over and over. Amen. You said, He done said this before. That's right. I want it to get down in there good. Some of us have thick skulls. Amen. Sometimes we have to be told more than once. Amen. I know when you was a kid, if I had your mom and daddy here tonight, they'd tell me so, that they had to tell you more than one time. Now, my daddy had a policy he didn't do that, but in our modern day, they do. Amen. My daddy told me one time, and if I didn't do it, it was over. Daddy ever got up out of his chair, I couldn't just go get business done, and Dad sat back down. If he ever got up, he done business. Amen. So my job was to try my best to make sure Dad never wiggled out of his seat. But if he ever wiggled a little bit, I know he's going to get up. And after he got up, it's too late. So I tried to keep him in his seat. And so Paul is saying tonight that I am a servant of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has full control of my life. I have no more control of my life. As a servant, that's what he's saying. He's saying now my life is being dictated and directed by one person, the person Jesus Christ. I don't listen to outside forces. I don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the church. I don't listen to the husband, or I don't listen to the wife. I follow Jesus. Now, I can go back to this thought, and you say, well, you mean wives aren't to follow the husband? Oh, the Bible says they are to be over you. Amen. I'm talking about when you're listening to God. Amen. Let God speak to you. Now, you understand that? Brother, I believe if you're listening to the Lord, I believe the Lord's going to be speaking to him too as well. Say amen right there. We'll go on. Amen. Before I get myself in some hot water. But now the Bible's teaching us that Paul's saying as a servant, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. and I don't have a will no more. Matter of fact, I don't have no ambitions for life outside Christ. What he's saying is, He is my master. He is my everything. He is my all in all. I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. My life is centered upon Him. Now that's what he's saying when he's just saying that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Then he says, called to be an apostle. I believe every man of God must be called. I believe the apostles were called. Amen. We went through it the other day, and I'm not going to get back into all the business about the apostle, but apostle was a called man. He was a taught man. He was sent by the Lord. Amen. You remember one of the stipulations, or several stipulations, was he had to see the resurrection of Christ, to see that the risen Christ is what I should say. He should see the risen Christ, and Paul did that. Oh, he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. And then he was called up into the third heaven. I believe he saw the Lord to some degree. Amen. I believe he's seen a little evidence of it when Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter what? 7-6. Amen. And so we'll find, I believe again, that he saw the Lord in the Arabian desert in the first chapter of the book of Galatians. Then we know that the apostle has to be taught by Jesus. And he was taught by the Lamb of God. Galatians chapter 1 tells you that. Amen. We know that he also had to be one that had been given gifts that he could go and give to others, and that's exactly what he did. And we're not going to talk about that again tonight. We talked about that last week. But as being an apostle, there's something else that goes along with it. An apostle also was a missionary. Paul was what we know in the Bible as the first missionary, as we call it that way. Now the others were, when they left the day of Pentecost and went out preaching, they were missionaries to some extent. They were going out evangelizing, and evangelizing is what a missionary does. Amen. That's what a missionary does. The ambition of a missionary, amen, is to preach the gospel and win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for any missionary that had any other thing on his mind or her mind tonight to do except get the gospel out to the lost. Now that's what a missionary is to do. And so Paul, he was one of the great missionaries. Matter of fact, he's the greatest missionary that we know upon the earth inside of man except the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry. Amen. I believe he surpassed all missionaries that we've ever known. Not only would he be a missionary, so to speak, and being an apostle, but he would be an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? He's somebody sent from a country or from an authority with the authority of that country or that person upon him. Now, Paul, when he went out to be an ambassador, he went out representing Jesus Christ, but he had the authority of heaven upon him, and he did what God told him to do, and he exercised what God gave him, and so we know that he was in the authority of God and an ambassador. We got that, hadn't we? In other words, he was a representative of a divine being or the divine authority of God. Now, I want us to look at this other word. We got 2 sentences. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, and Paul, called to be an apostle. But let's look at the business of Paul, separated unto the gospel of God. Now that word separated, you know what it means? It means to be set apart for some purpose. That's what a dedicated person is. And so we'll find tonight that he's been separated and dedicated unto God. So he's set apart. He's separated. Now you got to be set off from something and separated to something. You see that? If you're going to be separated from something, you've got to be separated to something. That's why I wanted you to look at that word, unto. Paul was separated unto what? Amen. He was separated of what? When he is separated from the world. You get that? He is separated from the devil and his crowd. He was separated from religion. He was separated from all the things around him in the world. But then not only was he separated from those things, he was separated to the gospel. Amen. And the gospel was the thing that he had. Brother, that was the thing staring him in the face. The gospel of God. The gospel. That was between his eyes. That was the first and foremost thing on his heart. The gospel of God. He's separated. You get that? Amen. Now when you're separated, there's got to be some boundaries. There's some places you can't go. There's some places you've got to go. Amen. There's some things you've got to do. There's some things you cannot do. So you've got to learn where your separation is. And you've got to get to the place. And it means to be separated means to appoint somebody. And there's a limit to what you do. And you got that separation. Now, you got to be dedicated to a particular thing, and Paul was dedicated, as I said a moment ago, he was dedicated to what? The gospel of God. Amen. I like that. Amen. Some people separated the gospel, and then there's some people separated to the gospel of God. And what you said, preacher, that's the same thing, is it? No, it's not. There's a lot of people who don't know what the gospel is. But they say they preach the gospel. Amen. And there's some people, if you ask them today, and we've got preachers in our pulpits across America and even around the world, that if you ask them what the gospel is, they'd give you a different reason or a different thing or a different definition of the gospel than you've heard. These cults, if they're not cults, I call them cults, they are cults, but cults, they won't admit that they are. But there's a lot of those so-called bad religions religious sects that are in the world. And guess what they do? They say they preach the gospel, but they do not know the gospel. Amen. There's some people tell you that you can have easy believism. Shake somebody's hand, join a church, sign a card, get baptized. And that's the gospel. But that's not the gospel. Amen. You can go to hell believing those things and doing those things. But the gospel is something else. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. All right, read your Bible. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, gospel means good news. Now, let's look at it again. He separated unto the good news of who? God. It's God's good news. That's what the gospel is. And you've got to look at it like that. And brother, what he's separated to? He's separated unto what? The preaching of the gospel. Amen. You've got to look at that. You see, Paul has already been there. He tells us something in here. Now, Paul had been a preacher of the law. Paul could dot the I's. He could cross the T's. He could tell you what the law said. He knew the law, backwards and forwards. Amen. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Pharisees know the Bible. Amen. Baptist Pharisees, they can quote Scripture right and left, but they don't know how to live by it. Amen. We can tell a man how he ought not to. We can tell him how to cut his hair. We can tell him how to wear his clothes. We can tell him how to get in out of the weather. We can tell him he can do this and can't do that. And brother, we declare that we're declaring the gospel to him. But brother, all we're trying to do is give him forms and fashions like the law. What he needs is the gospel, and the gospel will set him straight. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm not saying tonight not to preach against sin. I do. You've got to remind people what some of them sins are. I'm not like the old preacher. They said, "What's your preacher preach?" He said, "He preaches against sin." "What's he say about it?" He said, "It's wrong." And he never calls any of it, you know, by name. I like to call it by name every once in a while. Paul did. Amen. Matter of fact, I see him calling it sometimes. I just kind of do this when Paul says a few things. I say, "Ooh, that's pretty tough." Amen. Now, some of you folks just reading the Bible for a daily Bible reading, you won't notice that. But if you really get down in the Bible and see what Paul begins to say and talk about the saints of God, and you know, a lot of times Paul's preaching, and we're saying, "Well, that's to them others over there." But if you ever put yourself in the book and listen to what Paul is saying, sometimes you say, "Whoo, I couldn't take a preacher that got that open and that plain in the pulpit." You know, tonight, if the Apostle Paul came back and preached in this church, we'd run him out of town, no doubt, in a month or two. We'd either leave or run him off. We couldn't run him off. We'd just leave. Most of us couldn't handle Paul. Amen. You know how I know? Because I preached a few of Paul's preachings, and they left. Amen. I've just kind of quoted it word for word sometimes. Well, Paul, he had been a teacher of the law, but the law was not the good news. The law could not save. The law cannot save. The law has never saved. Well, you said, "Well, preacher, if that's the case, how come we got the law?" Because God made the law for one thing. He made it for us to know and see it as a schoolmaster to show us that we come short, that we fail. Look at the Ten Commandments. How many of you, how many in this building has kept all Ten Commandments all your life? That's what I thought. Well, how many of you have just missed one of them? What about two of them? I mean, you've kept them all, but two. That's what I thought. I'm going to keep on going down, because one in a minute somebody's going to raise their hand, and I know you'd be lying to me because you missed about all of them. No, preacher, I can give you a few of them and I ain't done. Well, amen. Well, you approach me after service tonight, and I think I can prove to you that you have done them. Somebody said, preacher, I ain't never committed adultery. Bible said, if a man look on a woman, lust after a woman, he's committed adultery in his heart. Amen. Anybody want to raise their hand if that hadn't happened to you? Amen. Well, we'll just go to another point now. Amen. I believe I made my point there. All right. Paul was a preacher of the law back before he got a hold of the good news, but the good news changed him around and showed his failures, and he came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. Now, you know what? I've heard some of these jackrabbits down through the years teach stuff like this. Did you know that God gave us the law and man failed? And God saw that man failed with it and the law was not going to work. So God went back to the drawing board and God sat down and said, what I'm going to do now is introduce grace. Now that's what some people have come to think today that God did. Now I want to tell you something tonight. The grace of God is not an afterthought of God because the law didn't work. God gave us the law to show us that we needed something more and we couldn't save ourselves. And then on top of all that, God said, now I'm going to step in and show them what I've already planned before the foundation of the world, that the grace of God can save them even though the law can't. Now, don't let nobody tell you tonight that grace is an afterthought of God. In other words, that God had to go to plan B. Grace is not plan B or plan C or plan D. Amen. He's in all. God don't even have a plan A. I mean a plan B. Matter of fact, it's just a plan. And God's plan has worked thus far, amen, to the fullest. And God's plan will work throughout the ceaseless ages. And a billion years from now, God's plan will still be working. And He won't be on plan B, plan C, and plan D. It'll be on the same plan He started with. You believe that? Amen. It'll help you out if you'll learn that. Then this others comes along and said, well, you know, grace is right living. You gotta live right. Gotta comb your heart. You gotta comb your hair at the right place. Amen. You got to wear the right kind of glasses. Hey, some people get upset in our Baptist churches because somebody got a different kind of glass in their frames. I know some that throw preachers out of the pulpits. Wouldn't let them preach in their camp meetings and wouldn't let them preach in some of their revival meetings because they growed a little mustache. They said after he growed the mustache, he went to the world and we can't preach him no more. I know churches are split and torn all to pieces because of certain kind of glasses and things that they did and sometimes certain kind of cars that they drive. Are you with me? Now we can split hairs law if we want to. You may not like a mustache, and I don't, but amen. I don't have no scripture against it. Amen. I can tell you I think you're a little lazy because you won't cut it off. But I don't have no Bible on that. And you can just laugh at me and keep on going down the road and you won't be wrong for doing it. And amen. I can say what I want to and I won't be wrong for telling you what I think either. Amen. We can go on down the road. I believe men ought to be clean cut. Amen. Yes, sirree. All right, we go on, but I'm telling you, they'll say, that's grace. That's grace, they'll say. Well, that's not grace. Amen. The Bible said that we're saved through the foolishness of preaching. Actually, sometimes that's foolish preaching, if you want to get down to facts. I'm not here telling you that I don't preach against them things. I do. I believe we ought to walk and toe the mark. I believe we ought to stay out and shun the very appearance of evil. If anything's wrong out there, we ought to leave it alone. We ought not to get involved in what the world gets in. We ought not to look like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, and do like the world. We are separated. We are His people tonight. Amen. We ought to show that we've been to Calvary. But I'll tell you what. Just make it so I can make you, I guess, if we put up rules and regulations in the church and said you can't do this, you can't do that. Brother, I've seen them do that, put the rules and regulations and people get in. And what you've done, you've made yourself a church full of Pharisees. There's a lot of things I'd like to see you people, and I tell you this tonight. I look you in the eye and tell you that. I'm not going to argue with you tonight about it. There's a lot of things I'd like to see you get straightened out and get cleaned up with, and you don't see anything wrong with it, but I'm still praying about it, and one day God's going to get a hold of you. Amen. That's right. But if I made you do it, you know what you'd do? You'd sit there and soul up and say, I'm doing it. And I hear people get up and say, I done it. You'd be like that feller. come visit us one time, help us build the church. And he went to a church called St. John. St. John was up the road there. His name was St. John. They had a little community. They had a, what they call a Christian commune. And everybody in that commune, they had trailers and they put them in there and they went out to work. One of them be a plumber, one be a, maybe a, just whatever, a mechanic. And another be a barber. And they went out and made their living. They had their little business. But they came back and all lived on the commune. They raised their kids there. Went to the church there. And Brother St. John, he'd get up and preach to them and he said, "Hey, you shouldn't drink anything but water and milk. No tea, no cokes, nothing else. No Kool-Aid." Oh, that was tough. And so they started drinking milk and water. One of them guys come down to help us put a roof on the building. And we had him over there to take a break, and he wouldn't drink nothing but water. So we were going to have a little meal and feed him. And we fed him a little bit. And my wife said, "What you want to drink?" And he said, "I'll take water or milk. Whichever one you..." She said, "We got tea, we got cokes, we got..." And he said, "Oh, no, we drank water and we drank milk. And that's all we drank. That's what our preacher tells us. And we got to drink that." I said, "All right, we'll respect that. Amen. Come over my house, water you'll get. Amen. I'll give you water over milk. Amen. Because it's cheaper. Amen. So you pull that on me. Amen. I won't worry about offering you my cokes and my tea. Amen. I'll just give you some water. If that's the way you feel." But one day, he came to our church on a Sunday morning. I preached to him like I preached to everybody else. We left. My wife invited him over, said, "Come and eat with our family." We went over and sat down at the table. And she said, "Which one do you want today? You want water or you want milk?" He said, "I think I'll take a glass of tea." She said, "I thought you didn't drink tea." He said, "Oh, I left there. I don't go there no more." So I want to tell you something. I could get you to doing that same thing tonight and doing what I say, what the Bible is, and I could get you to doing that. And the next thing you know, you'd be sitting there sawed up, wishing you could do it, and you get my back turned or get away from here, I die out. You'll go right back to it. So I'm just going to preach to you the Word of God and hope God will get a hold of you and you'll get like Paul and get the place that you'll separate yourself unto God and you'll do it for God and not the preacher nor for the church. Amen? Now ain't that right? Amen. I hope you agree with that. If you don't, you're in trouble. Amen. I can make it different for you. But I believe that's the way it ought to be. Now Paul explains the gospel in the book of Romans. We're not getting far. But I want to try to show you some things tonight, and I hope we'll get back to this some other time and try to finish it. Now, I know we look like we're getting bogged down on these things, but what I'm preaching tonight is some things that we definitely need. These are teachings that we need. These are some things that we need to put in our pipe and smoke them. These are some things we put down in our crawl, as my daddy used to say. He said he got that in his crawl. Amen. I never did know what a gizzard was till... a young boy, I found out pretty soon what a gizzard... You know what a gizzard is? I mean, I want to get this down in your gizzard if you got one, your spiritual gizzard. You know what an old hen will do? She'll go out there and pick everything, and she gets grit and sand and little bitty rocks. I'm talking about little bitty ones. Gets them in that old gizzard. I don't know what... I had never studied to see what the gizzard was. Some of you don't like me, but I watched my mama cut that gizzard out of that old chicken, and she'd cut it open and roll it open. And I seen, if that stuff rocks, every kind of junk you ever seen fell out of that. There it was, just like she'd picked it up. And there it was, little bits of glass and everything else. And she would clean that gizzard, and she'd cook that gizzard, and I'd taste it. And I like gizzards. I don't want them every meal, but I like them. Once in a while. Amen. Then there's junk and they got everything. Listen, I'd just like to get some of this stuff in your spiritual gizzard. And you get a hold of it and let it do its work in you. Amen. That's what we need. But Paul explains the gospel. Especially in the first three chapters of the book of Romans, he explains it. Matter of fact, if you look at this, he said down there in verse number 14, "I am debtor." Amen. What's he a debtor to? He's a debtor to the Greeks, the barbarians. But what? He's really a debtor to the gospel. Now, we hadn't got to our subject tonight. Looks like we're going to have that for another time. Then he said tonight, he said, "I am not ashamed," in verse 16, "of the gospel of Christ." Now, what's the difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of God? I'm going to save that for a later time. Amen. And tell you the difference. Amen. See, got you wondering now, ain't you? You get to, what is the difference, preacher? I'll tell you later. Amen. There, you said, is there a difference? I'll tell you later. All right. Then he said in verse number, 16? He said it in verse number 15. I am ready to what? Preach. So Paul had it. Now, guess what? Paul wrote the manual on the gospel. Did you know that? You know where the manual of the gospel is in your Bible? If I ask you that, where the gospel manual is. Amen. I'll show you right quick. Hold your place there in Romans. I'm going to show you where the gospel manual is. If you want the manual for the gospel, it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. Right in the margin of your Bible, right at the head of that chapter, write down the gospel manual. If you want to know what the gospel is, this right here will tell you what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1. Paul said, moreover, brethren, he's writing to the saints of God, I declare unto you the gospel. I declare unto you what? The gospel. Now, I don't know what the gospel is if I had never read nothing but that. Suppose it's the first time I've ever heard this. Suppose it's the first time this has ever been brought to me. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. My brains are running wild. The marbles are turning in the head. He said, what? He said, he declares unto me, what's the gospel? Suppose I'd never heard what it was. So here I am. Here's what Paul said. Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. Now, he's telling us something here that we're saved by what? Saved by the gospel. Amen. There's no salvation outside the gospel. If people do not preach the gospel, there will not be anybody get saved by the preaching of whatever they're preaching. You've got to have the gospel. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now he's going to tell you what the gospel is. For I delivered unto you first of all. What's the first thing he delivered? Here he's going to tell us. All that which I also received. And where did he receive it? He received it first on the road to Damascus, and then later, Galatians chapter 1. This is where the Lord gave it to him. I also received how that Christ died for our sins. When Christ died, he didn't say, go to the cross and give up his life. He died for a purpose. What was that purpose? For our sins. He died on the cross for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That's what the Word of God says. God is giving us and telling us tonight that Christ died for our sins on the cross. Then he said in verse number 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said, hey, he died on the cross, but dying on the cross is not good enough. Being buried, were not good enough. But thank God he arose on that third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And beloved, his resurrection, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures is the gospel. Amen. Now you already know that, but I want you to take another look at it. So we find tonight that that is the gospel in Emmanuel. God's got it there. Now what happened is Paul breathed, Paul eat, Paul slept, he dreamed the gospel. I believe when he snored, he is snoring the gospel. Amen. You say that's a little facetious and going out of line. Well, I don't know. I wake up in the middle of the night quoting a lot of Scripture and preaching a lot of sermons. I preach some of the best sermons I've ever preached in my entire life. I wish I could have recorded them. But I could set a recording. Nobody hear them. Because I wouldn't even hear. But I thought I preached them. I've seen people get right. I've seen multitudes come walk in the aisle. I've seen people get right with God. I preached to where I was shouting at my own preaching. In the middle of the night. And I said, oh, Lord, this is so good. Let me preach it when I get in the pulpit. And the next morning, I can't remember what in the world I said. But I preached some good sermons in the middle of the night. Amen. I believe that's the way old Paul was. I believe it. The Word of God, we got a hold of it. Paul loved and lived to preach the gospel. He had no desire on his mind or on his heart but to preach the Word of God. Amen. He's like the old shepherds. When they was down there, they said to the shepherds, the angels did, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Remember that? And the Bible said they went back into town there rejoicing. And old Paul said, "Hey, I've heard from a far country. I got good tidings of great joy. I love to preach it. I love to tell it." I believe Paul liked to preach the gospel. I love to preach it too. Amen. I believe the gospel is the greatest thing man's ever had. I believe the gospel is the greatest thing he's ever heard. I believe the gospel is the greatest thing God has ever given mankind. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell me something else been better. You said, "I had a new car." Ain't better than the gospel. Amen. You can't find nothing on the earth that's any better than the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to you. Had I not been preached the gospel of Christ, I'd be in my sins and on my way to hell tonight if I wasn't already there. Thank God for the gospel. The gospel has been preached. Amen. And appreciate that tonight. It's the good news of God. What is it? It's good news of what God has done for man, and what God has done for you, and what God has done for me, and how He has prepared the great salvation. Amen. Now I want to show you something out of the book of Romans, and I'm going to quit. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, we find a doctrine also in this Scripture. We find several doctrines that I didn't point out, but I'll point out this one. We'll find out that there is the gospel of God. Now notice, you'll find the Trinity. I want to point this out, and then we'll get through this and we'll quit. I'll find an unhitching place and we'll go back, because there's some things about the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. I want to talk about those in a later lesson. But tonight, dealing with the gospel. The gospel is a part of the Trinity. Are the Trinity all part, or all three? And I do believe in the Trinity. Some people don't, and I know the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Do you know that? The word Trinity itself is not in the Bible. But all Bible students and scholars of the Word of God will believe that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That is one God manifest in three persons. You must believe that tonight. You'll see it right here. In verse number 1, it said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Now we find God. That is talking about God in a general term. He is the sovereign God. Amen. You know that? He is the sovereign God. Brother, He is the center of salvation's plan. God is the center of God's salvation plan. Get this fixed in your mind. God the Father is the center of the salvation plan. Then you find in verse 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, the term that I mentioned a while ago, Jesus Christ, that is the Son of God. That is God the Son. You see that? God the Son. Now who's God the Son? He's the center of salvation's price. When you talk about the price paid for salvation, who is it? Jesus Christ. Did God the Father pay that price? He paid it through His Son. His Son paid the price for your redemption. And then you said, "Where's the Spirit at?" Look with me, please, in verse number 4. It said, and I was looking at that, I said, "Hey, the Trinity's got to be here somewhere." And I was reading down through there in these verses that I got, and I said, "The Trinity's not in. I don't see it. I don't see the Spirit." But it said in verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Oh, you said, "Preacher, it says Spirit of holiness." Well, let me tell you, who is holy? Who is holiness? God. It comes from the Godhead. And so I said, surely. Now, is anybody, look in your Bible there. Would anybody look at that word Spirit in your Bible? Is anybody's Bible capitalized? That word Spirit capitalized? Does anybody have one in here that's capitalized? Amen, right there. Yours is capitalized? Amen. Yours is, the rest of you not. It's supposed to be capitalized. Amen. Now this is one of them little things I tell you about that's sometimes messed up. I've got a Scofield Bible without the notes. It's just a Scofield Bible. Don't have no Scofield notes at all in it. Been preaching at it for a long time now. Love it. But that word Spirit is not capitalized in mine. So I said, that got to be. So I went back and pulled my old 1611 King James. Amen. It's hard to read. And I looked it up. And I looked over there and it said, Spirit of Holiness, and it's capitalized. I said, it's got to be right. Amen. You said, just because I hadn't said it, hey, I went back to that and it is. Now I know somebody going, oh, look around, you mean my Bible not right? Amen. I ain't found what it is yet. Amen. Except back to the original. Amen. Go back to them. We've gone through that before. We're not going in that again. Amen. So you can do what you want to there. But now you find the Spirit of holiness. Who's the Spirit of holiness? The Holy Spirit of God. Brother, there He is. He's the Spirit of all things. Amen. Brother, He's one. Now what does God do? God gives us the plan of salvation. And then God sent His Son. And then the Holy Ghost goes out and recruits us and brings us in. They all three work in this gospel of God. So you find the Trinity in this gospel of God. Amen. We'll preach you on the gospel later. We got the foundation laid. Amen. Hope that'll help you and strengthen your soul. All right. Bow your head. Close your eyes. And they'll come to the instruments tonight. Maybe there's something that you need to get settled at the throne of grace. May the hand of God be upon you. Now, I've enjoyed the liberty. Thank you tonight for letting me have the liberty to declare the Word of God. And I pray that you listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks tonight. And He directs your heart and directs your life. Thank God for the Word of God. It's so real. And I just love studying it. You said you just play on words. Amen. That's what the Word of God is. The words of God. Amen. I'm not playing, adding anything to the Scriptures. But I want to see them plain enough that I can understand them and apply them to my heart. Let's stand, please. While they play. Maybe there's a reason you need to come to the altar for some purpose. For some reason, come tonight, please.